And now for our main speaker, and I'm very grateful he came the longest drive from Santa Monica. As you know, the roads were closed in Santa Barbara today, so let's give a big hand for Rick D.
Hi, I'm Rick Alcoholic. Annette, thanks for inviting me. And it was a little bit of a long drive. It's like a 3-hour wait in Summerlin from the clear, you know. But, and I'm not the guy that wants to, I'm an alcoholic, you know. I'm not a guy that's happy about stuff not working out. And, you know, I got a place, I got, you know, and it was the weirdest thing, you know. I called Annette, I said, hey, I'm in Summerlin, I don't know, let's just see what's going on. So I parked by, you know, I was looking at the ocean, I parked, and I was, took some inventory, I'll tell you about that later, and meditated, just kind of like, was not the normal reaction to me when stuff goes wrong for Ricky. There's lots of profanity and lots of just aggravation, you know, that's... And it was just, number one, there's no Ricky without Alcoholics Anonymous. So there's no situation, because there's no Ricky without AA. So I was just very calm. It was so strange. But this is how much Alcoholics Anonymous means to me. It means everything to me. And for 3 hours, meh. Oh, 3 hours? You have a whole life because of Alcoholics Anonymous. Oh, you have to wait 3 hours? Really? Really? Like, you don't need to go to a meeting? Really? Really? You know, really, when that question comes up and you go, I went to a meeting. It's the weirdest thing. You know, it says in the big book that the insanity of alcoholism returns and we drink again. So if you're 35 years sober, which... we are, thanks to you and thanks to AA, and or 1 year or whatever. And you get that little voice, that little calm little voice, like it's in the Jungle Book, like the snake in the Jungle Book movie, the cartoon. And it just goes, you don't need to go to a meeting. Trust me. Right? And it's so subtle. It's just such a subtle thing. Like, yeah, I don't need to go to a meeting. And it's like, that's an insane thought for an alcoholic. That's the beginning of the, that's the beginning of the insanity. That's how it all starts. And most of the, once in a while, I've talked to someone who did all their commitments and showed up and they go out. But that's very rare. It always is like, I got this stuff now, and I got her, and I got the car, and I got the stuff, and I just go to 2 meetings a week, and I go to 1 meeting, a couple of months, you know, and I don't know, man, I don't know how comfortable that is. I can't do that. So here we go. Before I ever drank, what's your earliest childhood memories, Rick? Fear? Fear? Fear. I was so uneasy as a little kid. I mean, I just remember. I mean, I was just always going like this. You know, something's there, man. Something is there. Something's going to happen. And that's what I was like when I was a little kid. You know, my parents are going to die blah, blah, blah. Or the world's going to end So then... being a little kid, and kids are great because they're very honest. I was terrible at baseball. Not very good at land sports. Thank God I learned how to surf later on. But anyway, land sports. So if you are not very good, kids will let you know. You know, they tell you. So I'm scared all the time. I'm no good at sports. Then I have a brother who was later diagnosed as schizophrenic. Going to special schools, and so it wasn't, they didn't say don't talk about your brother, but it was kind of like, shh, it's not like, And of course, I'm looking at all the other the other families. And every, you know, when you look at someone else, they're perfect, the perfect family, the perfect mother with the tennis dress and the perfect brothers going to UCLA and the father and the perfect station wagon with the wood panels and the, and they just look so perfect, you know. And that's when I'm looking at that, you know. And of course, like later on, then you find out not all the time, but then that's usually something happens, like where the guy kills the whole family, you know, goes insane. Right. And you go, God, they were so great. Look so great. And not that it's okay to be a perfect looking family. You don't have to kill everybody, but it's just, you know, so I would always look at that stuff and it just wasn't. So what happened was I was watching this movie, black and white TV, and this old movie came on. It's really old now, but it was only like about 20 years old or 10 years old when I saw it, called The Wild One, which is this biker gang with Marlon Brando, right? And they ride Triumphs. Not Harleys, Triumphs. These guys are riding Lee Marvin and Brando. Anyway, they're leather jackets. And I just, you know, I just did not feel okay at school. I just was like, you know, so I saw this movie. So the next day I show up at school and I got the leather jacket on. And I got a chain. And I'm trying to smoke a Pall Mall, you know. And I'm like this big. And I'm walking down this hall, you know, and I see the principal. This is a long time ago. I remember her name, Mrs. Sylvia Jordan, my principal. And this was in the hood. This is Franklin Elementary School in Santa Monica, you know. And I see her, and I could have ducked down the stairway, but I saw her, and I just beeline, right? Trying to smoke this Pall Mall. And she just, and they kicked me out of school. But the interesting thing was, you know, I felt scared all the time anyway. So when I got in trouble, it was great because I kind of went, now it fits. This is the correct feeling. You should be scared. You're in serious trouble. They're kicking you out of school. You're in trouble, you know? And it was great. It started this whole pattern where I would just create, like become the class clown, or I would just create a diversion from myself, from my fear. Because all I was thinking, all this is gonna go wrong, so I would just get in trouble, you know? And it would be like something outside. I could focus on something else, you know? Because I was really, really, you know, scared. And I had that brother, and you know, my dad drank. So I just uneasy, you know, until that unbelievable day. Oh, by the way, I was in sixth grade when I did that, wore the leather jacket. So that unbelievable day when I was in like seventh grade, when I said, Grant, it must have been, maybe it was that 12-year-old, a guy a year older than me, he diagnosed my problem and he said, Old English 800. That's what you need. Tall cans. Because there wasn't that many tall cans back then. There was Old English 800, there was Colt 45, there was like three other ones. Someone knows, but anyway. So Old English 800, and then the really cool suggestion was with straws. Drink it with a straw. So I went, okay. So here we'll pretend there's a straw, right? So here we go. God, I'm really scared. My brother's nuts. Can't talk about it. The world's gonna end. I don't fit in. Yeah. So I don't really care if I fit in. God, as a matter of fact, I'm better than you. That was the most amazing stuff I had ever put in my body. That was one of the greatest days of my life. Because nothing took that fear away like that. Nothing had ever done that before. God, that was amazing. It felt so good. And it really didn't make me feel better then. It just kind of made me even. Like I felt even, you know. And that was great, you know, until the next day. And then you go, oops, oh, whoa, they're back. Like Poltergeist, they're back. You go, oh, no, okay, well, they're back. Well, goodbye. So it was awesome, you know, Cuervo fear remover, Smirnoff fear remover. And it was awesome. And so then, thank God, I took junior lifeguards and they taught me to surf. And I would just, you know, maybe it's the alcoholic, but I would just get on that board and I'd hit that ocean and I was good. I'm way safer in the ocean than on land. Ooh, safer out here. And on older guys, and it still goes on, you know, the little surf rat, the Grams. And so I was this little rat. These guys would take me surfing, which was great because they could drive me to surf spots I couldn't go to. And they had really cool, they were like 16 or 17 year olds, and they had girlfriends that wore bikinis. And when you're like a 13 year old, you're going, whoa, Candy. Is Candy coming today? Just never mind, you know? And then they were getting like, back, this was like a long time ago, and they were getting like, they go to Mexico and they get these gigantic bags of mini whites, all these little mini whites, like big bags, you know? And so it was fun. So I loved surfing. And then, so I was like a little surfer dude, my Pendleton, it's just really sad, like desert boots and a Pendleton. It's not a Pendleton, but I had a corduroy jacket when I was like 13 too. So anyway, so I got in a band, and the band was called the Gathering Moss. It's the 60s, man, come on. And so the Gathering Moss, I was like a little mini Jim Morrison, you know, and I couldn't afford the really cool leather pants, you know, that Jim Morrison had from North Beach Leather that cost expensive, right? So I had a friend of mine, it's a friend of my parents, actually. She was a wardrobe lady, and she made me a pair of black pants out of black Naga hide. It's what you make seat cars out of, right? So I had my black Naga hide pants, and I had an older girlfriend. She was 16. She could drive, and I would, you know, then I and I that guy was smoking weed a little and Dexedrine. They were little orange triangles then. This is like a while ago. Oh, back in the day, kids. And it was this little orange triangle. So I had the girlfriend, and I was in the band, the Gathering Moss. And I go and I play the ninth grade dances, and then I go home and I take the pants off, and my legs would be black from the dye. Right? And then the whole idea was like, how loaded can you get and not fall off? Because these guys are my heroes. These are my heroes. Jim Morrison, great, great, great person to admire. And how loaded could you get, not fall off the stage and remember the lyrics, you know? So the Gathering Moss, and we got like a little record deal, and so I was, you know, and I was a pretty good surfer, you know, and then it all crashed and burned. So I was a has-been at 15. So what do you do? So I messed around for about another year, and I said, you know, I'm going to go to Hawaii, make money surfing. Well, that's great, except that no one was making money surfing in that time. I think you got a TV set once in a while. Maybe two guys were making money surfing in like 1970, whatever. So I moved to Hawaii. And I lived in Kohio Street behind the International Marketplace. But before I moved there, I just went there, went to a party and woke up and it blacked out. And then I woke up, these guys took care of me. It was really like Aloha, it really was. These people would take you in, you know. And so I was living with these guys, and then I got an apartment and someone lent me a car. And anyway, I was drinking Primo, Hawaiian Pea is what they called it, Primo beer. And then I will say it again, alcohol, like that song that Diana Ross sang with Lionel Richie, my first love was alcohol. It was. But it always could get a little assist with some other things, you know, but it was always an assist to the alcohol. Alcohol is what that's what did it. That's what took that fear away. Nothing else did that. So then they were doing, then we did some health drugs, which is carob mescaline, because it had carob in it. So it was called a health drug. And so in Hawaii, it's more crowded now, but you could just literally walk out to someone's backyard and you'd be on the hills and you could just go. So you just take some mescaline and you would just go hiking with just your trunks on for like 3 days. You know, and everything was fascinating. And meanwhile, always drinking the beer, the primo beer, blah, 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 you know. So then I was living, these guys were living downstairs and they were these junkies, and I was so fascinated with them. And it's also great if you're hyper and you're in Hawaii, they throw drugs at you when you walk in the room because they can't stand it. Go, calm him down. It's California Rick. Calm down, down. So the one guy goes, he looks at me and he goes, you know, you can snort tequila. Oh. So, you know, I'm a smart guy. I don't want to look stupid. I said, you can? You know where this is going. And I go, how do you do that? He goes, well, you just take the tequila and you just pour a little in the cap. It's killer. I'm going, okay. And I still remember it. My eyes are watering right now. It was like, wah, the whole right side of my body, and I blinked for like 3 days. Just blinking, and I'm carrying my board like this, like limping almost. Like, this whole right side was like, ah. So that's the kind of stuff I was doing over there. And anyway, somehow I got back from Hawaii. And I was like, I'm 18, you know, and I go to the surf shop, they pick up a surfboard. Because, you know, when you surf for contests, you surf for surfboard maker, you know, so you go get your boards. And I walk in to get my board, because I had to go to a Santa Cruz contest. And the guy goes, dude, I go, what? He goes, you should call the doctor. I go, no, just give me my board. No, I'm really serious. You should call the doctor. I go, will you just give me my surfboard? I go, why do I have to call the doctor? Dude, you're like yellow. You're glowing. You're like yellow. Oh, man. So I call the doctor. I go to the doctor. I get half, like a foot in the door, and he's calling the hospital. They threw me in the hospital. Back then, there was two hepatitises. There wasn't a bunch of them. There was serum hepatitis that the junkies got and infectious hepatitis that the alkies got. And I had infectious hepatitis, really bad. And the guy said, you have the liver of a 40-year-old alcoholic. I do now. Now a much older liver. But you have the liver of a 40-year-old alcoholic. I think I was almost 18. And here's what it had come to, is that my urine looked like Coca-Cola. I threw up every morning. Isn't that how everyone wakes up? Just clear your body up. Throw up every morning. So I threw up every morning. My bowel movement was white like chalk. And none of that bothered me because the drinking took care of this. I didn't care if this was gone because this was still quiet. This, it worked. It worked, you know, and I didn't care. And, but I didn't want to have be stick. They were going to put me on an IV. And so I just kind of just white knuckled it. And I just didn't drink for like 8 months, and it was fine. My life was fine. I don't need to drink. You guys are wimps. That's when you drink and do drugs. Punch the wall again, Rick. Punch the windshield. I was like, that's what it was like with no drinking, right? It's like, so I made it like not quite a year, and then I just kind of went. This cold Coors, 12-ounce Coors, floated. I remember floating. Thank God, it still works. You know, then it was off to the race. It was like just crushing up whatever it was and smoking. It was all Quaaludes. Can you crush them up? Can you smoke them? Can you do, you know, everything? Game on. And until the one horrible day. Well, first I got a drunk driving. I got the classic alky drunk driving. It was always some girl's car, never my car. My cars were, I don't know where they were. I left them somewhere. And it was always someone else's car, and this was a BMW with a sunroof, and I'm stopped at this light, and someone honks at me. So I get up, I stand up on the front seat, I look out, and I go, and it's a cop. Whoop, 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 whoop. So that's the first DUI, right? So then, you know, thank God I didn't kill anybody driving. What happened was, I got like, then it got to this point where this would be like a fifth of vodka, and I would go like this. Oh, come on, man. Come on. Come on. Come on. Crap. It's not working. I would start crying. It's not working. It's not doing that. It's not taking that fear away. God, that was a horrible feeling. Because this was it. This was my go-to. This was the answer, you know. And it was not working. But we keep trying. So I think now the gathering moss fizzled. The surfing career was a pfft. So now I'm a drunken house painter in Malibu. Now, if you're a house painter, it's a really noble profession. It's really good. It takes a lot of talent to be a good house painter. But if you're a drunk house painter in Malibu, the only people that hire drunk house painters in Malibu are drunk house owners. Because then they tell their wife, I'm working with the painters. I'm working with the painters, honey. You know, we're painting. I'm working with the boys, you know. So I was done doing my drunken house painting for that day and got in my, then this car, I did have a white Chevy station wagon with the red plastic bags duct taped over the taillights that had been broken, you know, for the brake lights, and duct tape everywhere. Duct tape's great, isn't it? And I drive down this driveway, right into this fence post, and there's a CHP right there. And he goes, got some ID? You been drinking? Got some ID? And I'm going like, and the only thing I had was the DUI ticket from the week before. Right? Yeah, so, I mean, I've had cops look at me and go, I'm gonna kick your, you know, or, you know, you mess with me, I'm gonna, you know, you little, you know, you mess with me, I'm gonna punch you, you know. This cop looked at me like, I never experienced that look before from a cop. It was just like you pathetic loser. Like, I don't know what he was thinking, but it was just like, it just, because he probably wasn't an alcoholic, he was just going, what is the matter with you? Like, you know, so he goes, give me your keys, you know, and I want you to go away. Give me your keys. And so I give him the keys and I crawl back, I go up to the, where we were painting. I think I slept on the slab of part of the house and probably put some fiberglass insulation up for a blanket, right, and passed out. But it didn't matter because the next week I got another drunk driving, you know. So now I got three DUIs and it's not working, but I keep trying to drink. You know, it's making me physically, but it's not doing anything. It's not taking the fear away. So I get the lawyer and he gets all everything. Before computers, you know, they had hit. So the guy in the DUI in Malibu, he didn't know about the DUI in Manhattan Beach, and the Manhattan Beach guy didn't know about the DUI in West LA. And so they staggered them all, right? So we got this one done and this one done. Then we go to the one in Malibu and the guy goes, Your Honor, we throw ourselves on the mercy of the court. And I go, what did he say? Did he just say that? And the guy, I'm going, oh, no. And the guy goes, 90 days county. And it seemed like 10 minutes, but it was probably like 30 seconds. Or 90 meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. And here's the most astounding thing. I went, oh, well, wait a minute. I have blonde hair down here. I bark a lot. Bark, 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 bark. But I've rarely gotten any punch ass, but I bark. So hopefully you don't punch me because I've just collapse. You know, so I would not have been a good candidate for 90 days in county at all. But the fact that I literally went, whoa, wait a minute, you know, alcoholics, not, you know. So I took the deal. You know, I took the deal. So I found the meeting directory, and I was looking. God, they're all an hour and a half. God, isn't there any hour meetings? You know, where's it got to be a 1 hour one somewhere? So I find a 1 hour meeting. I get started at like 7, so I, 7 to 8, right? So I show up at like 7:50 to get my court card signed. You know, you guys know. To get my court card signed, last 10 minutes. And it was like, I walk in, and I heard there was beautiful women. That's one thing for sure, beautiful women. But the thing that was cracking me up was there were these guys, and they were talking about stuff that guys don't talk about. And they were laughing about it. And I went, God, this is really cool. I could probably stay here. Now the conversation inside is like this. It's like, this is, God, this is so cool. I think this is gonna work. We can stay here. And then the other's like, no, I don't think so. We're not staying here. No, Rick, listen to me. This is really good. This is gonna work. I swear to God, this is really, no, it's not. It's not gonna work. We're not staying. You know, so this is going on, and I think I got like 30 days, right? And this is the Lord's Prayer, we go like this, right? And so I think I got 30 days without a drink, and I outlived who? Jim Morrison, of course. And I said, well, and I walked out of the room when Chuck Chamberlain, who was this old speaker, who's a pretty famous guy, cool guy, and I said, oh, you're full of crap, and I walked out, cross the street to the liquor barn, and I do what they say to do. If you have any doubt, go try some controlled drinking. Go ahead. Really fun. You know, go ahead. And that's what I did. I went and tried some controlled drinking, you know, and get the right amount of this, and get her, get that car, get this, the right amount of, and, you know, I think I got the right amount once, and then we chased it for the rest of our lives, right? So I crawled back into Alcoholics Anonymous, January 4th, 1984. And this time I would have sung the Mickey Mouse song if you told me. I would have done anything because my magnificent, magnifying mind was out of ideas, you know. And I was in the parking lot. I think I had like, I got a couple days and I was just in the parking lot at Ohio Street. And you know, they used to say, all those guys out there in the parking lot, they don't come into the meeting. You know, those guys are the half measure group. They're like, yeah. I said, no, you know what those guys are? They're the lifeguards. Because when you're getting pulled out, like in a riptide, that's the last defense, those guys in that parking lot. And I was freaking out going, it's so weird, it's New Year's, man, it's weird. It's just so weird. I'm walking around in the parking lot and this guy goes, what's that, kid? I go, well, man, it's just weird. It's like, you know, it's weird. It's New Year's. I just, I go, yeah. It's weird. Let's just leave it at that. That never crossed my mind. What? You mean like you're telling me that it's okay, that it's weird? Yeah. So if you're feeling really weird, it's okay. It's okay. You don't have to go get loaded right now because you feel weird. Just feel weird, you know. But it never crossed my mind, so I went, oh my God, this man's a genius. And it wasn't like throw the big book, hit me on the head with the big book. It was these one-liners, these old-timers would say. And then I went to this other meeting, there was like seven guys, you know, and I went to them, it's like, I walk in, I go, and I hear this dude, and I turn around, and he goes, hey, man, it's okay not to know anything. This tear goes, boom, boom, boom. Because all I ever said was F you and I know, or I know and F you. Before you were telling me what it was, I was telling you I know, because I didn't know it was okay to say I don't know. It's a simple thing to say. I don't know. I could never say it, you know. It was another one, bam, I can stay. I think I can stay here. Because now it's a good starting point. I don't know, you know. So I got lots of commitments. Because I don't, if it's one thing if I'm on a stage and I'm singing in a band or doing something, that's one thing. But one-on-one, it's like, So I got lots of commitments. So if you're new, it's probably a good idea to get a commitment. It works really well. And plus the commitment people are really funny. They're really funny. They look all serious and stuff, you know, but they're actually very funny people. Because I'm one of them. And so, you know, I was cleaning a coffee pot, and they look like R2-D2, kind of, and I'm cleaning my coffee pot. I'm going, hey, clean up. And I look over in the corner, and there's another guy talking to his coffee pot. So you become friends with these other people, you know. And then mopping the floor. I go, what do you mean? Why, how? I get, okay, just tell me, how does this have anything to do with me staying sober, mopping this floor? Like, what can that possibly have to do with me staying sober? Because number one, that's the safest relationship you can have right now, is with that mop. You know? And so you mop, mad. I'm just madly mopping, mad. You know? And then I get done, and I felt better. Like, what? Like, what did... There's no reward for this. There's no hot girl waiting for me anywhere. They're all left. It's empty now. I felt better. Amazing. A physical action. Just go. And the mind, you know, like you want to go. And when you first, as soon as you say, I don't need to go to a meeting, just get in the car and go to the meeting. You can go up. You can even go in and play the little game and open the passenger door and go, get in! And slam the door and then you get back and you think... And drive yourself to a meeting. And so people were going, you probably should get a sponsor. Have you done your inventory? I don't know why they would ask that. It was just, you know, 90 commitments a week and I was bouncing off the walls. Why would you ask me that? And so I ran into this guy, and he was sitting in a meeting, and he was more hyper than me, and he had piercing blue eyes, and he said, hey, you want to know how to take your inventory? And I said, well, it crossed my mind, you know, and he said, well, here, let me hear. And he wrote down this little thing. It was a God at the top of the page. God, I have fear. I am resentful at so-and-so because I have fear, and I have fear. And then, God, please remove these fears. I pray only for knowledge of your will for us and the power to carry that out. And he put his phone number at the bottom. And I said, okay, so that's nice. That's in the cute little note. Thanks, man. Yeah, okay, brother. You know. So then I went to a meeting, and she was there. Now, she didn't know, I didn't know who she was, but she was just this girl I just thought was really a pretty girl. And she walked in with someone I didn't think that she should walk in with. She didn't know that I liked her. And I didn't know who he was. I didn't even know her name. But she was with this guy. Ah! So I freak out. I call him. Oh, my God. You know, she walked in with this guy. Hey. Rick, you have that example I gave you. I go, yeah. He goes, good, write it down, and then call me back. And he hung up. I went, oh, God, I have fear AA doesn't work. I have fear this guy's a nutcase who gave me this little example. I have fear that I'll never find a chick. I'll never get this. I have fear the world's going to end. Whatever that stuff is, you know, we all have it. Whatever, fear. God, please remove these fears. I pray only for knowledge of your will for us and the power to carry that out. So I call him up, and he goes, read it to me. And I read it to him. It was like only like 10 lines. And I read it to him, and he goes, how does that feel? And I went, God, please remove these fears, blah, blah, blah. And it was like, just this little shift. And it was gone. All that was gone. Now, the only thing that had ever done that before was this, not water, booze. And so I went, wow. And he said, so did that felt, I guess, yeah, that's really amazing. It went away. So why don't you just do a long version of that? Let's do a great. So that convinced me that I got to do this inventory. I want to try this. A big, scary fourth step, everybody. Ooh, the big, scary step four, you know. So, you know, step one, I'm powerless over alcohol, duh. My life is unmanageable. Yeah, I can figure that out. And, you know, power greater myself restore me to sanity. Well, I always thought it was insane. So it was kind of a relief that someone gave it a name called alcoholism. So now I know what this is. Alcoholism! that's what you were. God, I didn't know that's what you were back there when I was a little kid. And so, you know, in step three, I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand him. Now, in that big book, right after that step, it goes, this is a vital and crucial step, but it will be of little permanent effect unless followed at once. That's pretty clear. Unless followed at once by a inventory. I don't know the exact wording. So basically, you do three, and that's a decision to do four. And you know what? Just try it. If you haven't done it, don't be scared about the steps. Just take them. There's no wrong way to do it. You know, and guess what? You can continue. The whole trick, this whole thing is continue. Continue to go to meetings. Continue to take these steps. We continue to go to meetings. Continue to help another alcoholic. That's the whole key, is continue. You know, oh, I don't need to take an inventory today. I already took an inventory on that like yesterday. Guess what? It's another day. Yeah, but I took an inventory on that. Are you still messed up about it right now? Well, then it's here still, isn't it? So try it again. And so I took that inventory, and I call this guy up, and I go, okay, I got my inventory. Where are we going? Spago's? He goes, no, meet me at Norm's on Pico. So I meet him at Norm's on Pico, which is hallowed ground to me. And I start reading this yellow legal pad like this, bunch of pages. I'm reading this stuff off to this guy. I'd only known this guy for 3 weeks, but I'm safe. There's stuff in this inventory this is the word for. That stuff. You're never gonna tell anyone. You're gonna kill yourself before you ever tell anyone this stuff. And here I am, reading this inventory to this guy that I barely know. And the waitress is pouring coffee, and I'm reading the stuff, and it has no power. No power anymore at all. It's just, I fear I was wrong to do that thing, and that weird sex thing, I fear. Hey, can I have some more coffee? Yeah, I'm doing my inventory right now. Yeah, I fear it was really weird to do that. And it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And it wasn't in the church, it was at Norm's. Some guy I didn't really know, just another alcoholic who looked at me in the eyes, and he started laughing at this stuff. So I took that inventory, right? And then I did, you know, 6 and 7, and then made my 8-step list. Don't be scared of the step 8. Do not be scared of step 8. It's just a list. You know how many drunken lists I made when I was drunk? I got a list. We're gonna save the world. I'm gonna write this. I'm gonna do. So just take your list. Make your 8-step list. And then step 9, make your amends, which were the promises happen in the big, but they come after step 9. The reason you make the amends is to free yourself up, not to be so swell and help them. No, that's not why. When I lived in Hawaii, I completely borrowed this. These people were nice as could be. They lent me this car, and I kind of trashed the car, and I was a drunken idiot and just left it somewhere, and I didn't, you know, and I just... You know, I just was a tornado roaring through someone's life. I was so wild. I just destroyed the whole island of Hawaii. That's what I am. So I finally get a number. I call this guy up. I go, hey, Bobby, it's Rick. You know, I was, you know, when I was 18, you guys lent me a car, and it was on Oahu, and I just did this, and I, you know, and it was just like a tornado, and it just was really horrible. I'm so sorry. And he goes, I'm sorry. I don't remember you. How could that be? And, so the point is, I'm carrying this around for 40 years. He didn't even know. He didn't even care. So that's why we make the amends. To be free. To be free. You can't go around going, oh, that was his wife. Oh, God, I owe him money. Oh, I can't. So you don't want to do that. So just do it. Just do it. Do it, do it, do it. And then 10, 11, 12. You know, I still take a personal inventory. I still take a written inventory. For me. You don't have to, but I do. And I learned how to meditate. You know, search prayer and meditation, and improve my conscious contact with God as I understand God. So 10, you know, I take my little inventory, and 11, I meditate, say a little prayer, meditate. So it's 10, 11, and it's not 10, 11, go to the beach. It's 10, 11, 12. No, it's in 10, 11, surf. No, Rick, it's not. 10, 11, 12, 12, 10, 11 into 12. That's 10, 11 into 12. Because you're all energized. It's designed that way. So you go to a meeting. You know, where am I going to find an alcoholic? At a meeting. At home? No. No. Me. That's at home. So it's better than us. Me, you. Me, you. Me, you. I need the you. because I just can't think about myself. I can, but it just gets really boring after a while. Think about yourself all the time. And because of Alcoholics Anonymous, I have a life. I have an ex-wife. I have a beautiful new wife. I have great kids, great friends. I have a wonderful, wonderful life. So sitting in a car for 3 hours because of a stupid little mudslide is nothing. It's no price at all to pay for what Alcoholics Anonymous has given me. You know, if you're new, it's the best deal in town. I know it looks stupid on some of the TV shows, you know. And I mean, I used to get so upset and so mad, and I had to take a lot of inventory on that. Because what? Oh, I'm fear it's going to ruin AA. It's not going to ruin AA. You know? And if one person gets sober because he saw Mom or whatever these shows are, that's, you know what I mean? It's like, God bless him. And God wants us to be happy, joyous, and free. And he wants us to be happy, joyous, and free. Yeah, we're swell, but it's not because we're so swell. It's because the world's a much safer place when you and me are happy, joyous, sober, and free. Because when we're drunk and resentful, no one's safe, you know? And we stay sober. We're good. So use us. There's no stupid questions. There's no stupid question in here. You can ask any question you want. If you're new, it's the best deal in town. God bless you. You know, stay if you can. The door does not revolve. I buried so many people, so many of my friends. That brother I had, he died at 47 years old. His liver failed and he bled out from alcohol. And that was very sad. And that was the ultimate 12 step. So that's where it ends up. We die or we take people with us. You don't have to do that. You don't have to. It's just a day. Just make it another day. And thank you so much for asking me to speak.
Let's give Rick another round of applause.